everybody. I am Bill Buckmaster. Welcome to the Buckmaster Show on this Monday, May 6, 2013. Hope you had a great weekend and are off to a good start with the new week, the first full week of the month of May. The Buckmaster Show live each weekday, noon to 1, right here on AM 1030 KVOI, Tucson's intelligent voice. We're streaming the show at buckmastershow.com and kvoi.com. And if you miss a portion of the program, you can listen to it anytime, anywhere on buckmastershow.com. The TucsonSentinel.com and TucsonCitizen.com post our program as well. Today's show, the Monday Political Face-Off, will launch the new week with the face-off featuring one of our two teams of regular commentators, each team believing as they come in to the show that they are, of course, the A-team. With me today in studio, Bruce Ash, seated to my right, and Paul Eckerstrom is seated to my left. And yes, there is significance in that placement. 30 minutes past the hour, we look forward to our monthly conversations with our military and foreign affairs contributor, retired General John Wickham, one-time Chief of Staff of the U.S. Army under President Reagan. General Wickham has some insights into whether or not we will have U.S. military involvement in Syria. We'll begin with him at the bottom of the hour. If you have a question or comment, we invite you to call us on the Buckmaster Show live line 790-2040. You can also post a question or comment to our Facebook page, Bill Buckmaster, parentheses, Buckmaster Show, and Rose Mary Brandt will be monitoring the Facebook page during the show. Bruce and Paul, how are you? How was the weekend?
Nice.
Cinco de Mayo.
We went to El Molinito yesterday afternoon and got some of their great refried beans and salsa. And Janie had made guacamole earlier. Mm-hmm. And we had a tostada or two with that. And my wife had a nice adult beverage. And it was quite a nice way to celebrate Cinco de Mayo.
And, of course, you were not drinking because you were the designated driver.
No, actually, this was we had dinner at home.
Oh.
But I did have a glass of wine earlier in the afternoon.
Well, okay. A little known fact about May 5th is, yes, also Baja Arizona Day.
It is.
That was passed in 1986 as a resolution by the Pima County Board of Supervisors.
Mm. That's the state which Paul Eckerstrom will be the governor of
if it ever takes place.
When he's successful with the secession move.
And, of course, it was the 41st anniversary for Ann and Bill Buckmaster.
That's
Cinco de Mayo, married in Phoenix, Arizona in 1972. We had a quiet anniversary compared to a year ago when we were down in Costa Rica. So this year we kind of kept to a rather quiet weekend.
Well, I'm amazed. 41 years is quite an accomplishment.
Well, I'm not amazed. I've met his wife. And I understand why Bill and Ann would have been married for 41 years.
Yeah.
She is his better half.
Oh, man. And those wedding pictures, me with that long-haired, freaky 72.
Did you have mutton chops, too? Did you have some mutton chops going?
I was clean-shaven, but definitely a long hair. Up at the legislature, I think we can now use the word gridlock, Paul Eckerstrom. Nothing's getting done.
Well, my understanding is it all has to do with the budget dealing with the whole Medicaid expansion issue that Jan Brewer wants to get through. And it's my understanding is that there's potentially the votes in both houses for it, with some Republicans voting for it, with the block of Democrats voting for it. But we've visited this before. I mean, when Medicaid was first implemented, it was about a decade that Arizona would not take federal money, so we had no Medicaid program. And then when Bruce Babbitt became governor, working with a lot of business-oriented Republicans in the legislature, they were able to hammer out the Access program, which is our Medicaid program. And it was actually named Access and not Medicaid because it was supposed to be, I think, a way to save face for all the people that opposed it for those 10 years to be able to sign on to it. And again, we're facing a situation where we're going to have to expand the program anyway under a law that was passed by initiative in this state. There's no reason we should be turning down federal money to help us pay for that. And I think Jan Brewer, if she holds to her guns, should be able to get the legislature to come around. My understanding, one of the big roadblocks is Biggs, who's the Senate president, may not ever let it go to the floor. And I don't know if there's any procedural ways to get around that in the Senate, but it would be very difficult if he would not finally agree to let it at least be voted on the floor.
And before I turn it over to Bruce Ash, I do want to say the Monday Political Face-Off presented by Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, family-owned and run since 1985, specializing in custom frame mirrors, art for your walls, picture framing, and hanging services and hanging systems. Moe's is located at Fort Lowell and Dodge and at moesgallery.com. I was over there on Saturday, had a particular framing need for Moe, a 17th-century map of the Caribbean. He and his team, Bruce Ash, are the only people I would trust with that here in town to do that job.
I didn't know that you were a pirate in the Caribbean. That's cool.
Yeah. Now, getting back to...
No, Mo, that's his deal. Really, I mean, he does a great job with
that. He does. I mean, they picked out a frame that was just – it was fantastic, beautiful frame. I mean, if you really want quality, go to Mo's. Now, about the legislature, Bruce Ash... This is the biggest philosophical difference between the two sides that we've seen in years.
Well, that's pretty all-encompassing. There's been quite a few impasses over the years.
In recent time. How about that?
Okay. Fair enough. Look, there's some jockeying going on right now, taking some of the abortion, funded abortion language out of the bill. I don't think that is really the crux of what should be discussed in terms of sweeteners. You know, that might make it more appealing for Ethan Orr to vote for the Medicaid expansion than what it is today. But Supreme Court or federal court would probably overturn that down the road. What we ought to be throwing in as a sweetener, if this thing is to pass at all, is meaningful interstate competition in insurance exchanges. It should have Texas-style tort reform, which has really proven itself over a number of years now to be an effective way to get more doctors coming into a state. And with all due respect to Paul Eckerstrom, of course, Paul doesn't really handle civil cases.
No.
I don't feel like I'm being too offensive. You know, but it also has chased some of the lawyers out of Texas, you know, who did that sort of work. You know, if you were to get those two things thrown in there and done so in a meaningful and a pragmatic sort of a way, I think that it might force this thing out onto the floor for debate. And if I were the governor, I think that would be good politics. This business about throwing the abortion funding ban out there, it may look good. It may be sort of ear candy, but in the long run, a court's going to overrule it anyway.
Well, I guess the big issue is I kind of like there's gridlock right now because when that legislature passes something, it's usually kind of bizarre. And maybe it's good that they're waiting to finally – the reason everything's being held up is this particular issue directly corresponds with the budget. And the budget's the big kahuna in terms of what needs to get done
so
ultimately.
If it doesn't pass, then the budget has to be
Still have to work on the budget beyond that. Yeah, because if this does pass, then it affects the budget, and they can't go forward with the budget until this gets through. My question is, if what is this president of the Senate Biggs do when and if there's enough support to get this passed? Does he even let it get to the floor? And he could hold it up even if there's the votes for it.
Paul, the real problem is with Obamacare itself. We've seen just in the last week both Charles Schumer as well as Max Baucus, two of the leaders in the Obamacare legislation, have said that they're very troubled with implementing and funding it. We have some real severe problems here in the state potentially funding this, particularly, kind of looking a step or two or three ahead, if there was some sort of massive widespread immigration reform that created amnesty for those here illegally, would there be also additional funding problems with this sort of a scheme? And lastly, and this is something that has troubled me from the very beginning, I think that Prop 108 has been violated or will be violated if this hospital bed tax, bed fee, whatever it is implemented, because the citizens of Arizona passed a change to the Constitution saying there will not be a tax increase unless there's a vote of 2/3 of the legislature. And that, and that critically is not being offered here.
And they also passed an initiative that expands Medicaid and our access program to a lot of people. And it's not being funded right now by the state legislature, which I think is a violation of that initiative. And frankly, this expansion of access through the federal program means that federal dollars would pretty much pay for that expansion that we've already voted for, Bruce. So why aren't we taking advantage of that and doing it?
You're trading one lawsuit for another. If we don't pass this thing, the feds are likely to sue us. That's not a for sure thing, but they're likely to sue us. And if we do pass it, there will be a for sure lawsuit filed either against the state by the Goldwater Institute or Americans for Prosperity. You know, name the group. There's several likely people who will step forward and
file that. The government isn't just going to sue because this legislature is not going to fund the expansion that we've already voted for at the state level. And it'll be state folks suing the state to fund that properly. And so you're right. There's going to be a lot of legal issues to sort through if one way or the
and
other.
Going back, if there was some sort of meaningful tort reform, Texas style, if there was some sort of meaningful competition for these interstate coverages, that would really make a critical difference in being able to swallow what some Republicans feel is going to lead to a permanent deficit in our state.
Yeah, but you got to remember, you may lose the Democratic votes in the House and the Senate if there's too much of that tort reform involved. I'm not against tort reform in terms of medical. My ex was is a doctor, but you know there is issues there that, you know, getting the Democratic votes as well then.
All right, we're going to take a break right here. It's the Monday Political Face-Off. Bruce Ash is here and Paul Eckerstrom. Dan will be up next on the Buckmaster Show Live Line when we come back. If you'd like to join in the conversation with Bruce and Paul, 790-2040. We'll be right back.
The average person in the USA today takes over 12 prescription medicines each year. And if you are over age 65, it is more than 17 medicines. CredibleMeds.org is a nonprofit organization dedicated to helping inform you and your healthcare providers. Over 30,000 people die each year from reactions to their medicines. Don't be one of those numbers. Be informed and stay safe. Visit CredibleMeds.org today and take control of your healthcare by taking your medicines safely.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
If you love antiques like I do, I strongly suggest a visit to Adobe House Antiques, specializing in early 20th century European and American Western art. They also have a fantastic selection of antique light fixtures. Adobe House Antiques in the Jostler Design Building at 2700 North Campbell. Adobe House Antiques, 325-9439. That's 325-9439. Vero Amore restaurants are known as the place for authentic wood-fired Neapolitan pizzas, plus delicious pastas, panini, salads, and more. Every flavorful dish is homemade using the finest and freshest local and imported ingredients available. Vero Amore has two locations open daily, Plaza Palomino at Swan and Fort Lowell, and on Dove Mountain Boulevard in Marana, plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events.
Are you a landlord by choice or by force? Experiencing a job transfer and don't know what to do with your current house? Want to move but can't sell your current house? Hello, my name is Ken Adams, co-owner of Rincon Ventures Property Management. Rincon Ventures has a fully automated accounting process. electronic payments, and 24-hour access to your accounts. With some of the lowest rates in Tucson, Rincon Ventures has grown rapidly in this down economy. Let us show you why. Give us a call at 881-2258 right now and experience the difference. Rincon Ventures, where service is a fact, not another empty promise. 881-2258.
The RTA, delivering our promise to you, completing more than 500 projects and creating more than 2,500 jobs since its inception in 2006. Projects underway include the modern streetcar in downtown Tucson and Grant Road at Oracle. Please watch for workers and obey all traffic signs. Your tax dollars create jobs and make travel in our region faster and safer. The RTA, delivering our promise to you.
For more than 40 years, Pima Community College has helped our neighbors realize their dreams, prepare for meaningful employment, improve their quality of life, and build a better community. We haven't done it alone. Your continuing investment in education has made it possible for us to prepare hundreds of thousands of Southern Arizonans for jobs. Today's PCC students will be tomorrow's firefighters, nurses, police officers, teachers, and small business owners, the backbone of a smart, thriving Tucson and Pima County. Our region has not been immune to the unprecedented economic challenges of the past few years. During this time, PCC has prided itself on offering crucial programs and services at an extremely affordable price. We remain one of Arizona's best education bargains. With your ongoing support, we look forward to embarking on new directions and building new community connections that ensure the people of Pima County will prosper today and in the future. For more information, contact us at 206-4500 or visit us at pima.edu. Pima Community College, developing our community through learning.
Twelve 21 on the Buckmaster Show. It's the Monday Political Face-Off. Bruce Ash is here and Paul Ackerstrom. The Face-Off is presented by Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, Fort Lowell and Dodge, and at moesgallery.com. Also, Moe is on Facebook. You can check them out there. We've been talking about the deadlock up in Phoenix over the expansion of Medicaid. Let's go to Dan. Dan, how are you today?
Oh, very good. Thank you, gentlemen, and thank you, Bill, for your show.
Thank you.
My wife and I have always believed in the right of a woman to choose, all right, at an early period. But now we're finding out that apparently the Obama Democrat team believes in murdering babies as they're being born. Can your people there tell me exactly where the political parties stand on this infanticide issue?
Okay. Thanks, Dan. We'll see if Bruce and Paul have any thoughts on that.
I haven't heard that you can do that. And, you know, that Roe v. Wade is pretty clear. It's the first trimester. And after that, you know, abortions aren't legal. And I don't know what specifically he's talking about as they're being born, they can be murdered.
There's 40,000 botched abortions per year in this country. There was a hearing in Florida in the state legislature that took place just a few years ago, or a few months ago, and a representative of Planned Parenthood in Florida stated that what to do with the live-born baby was strictly up to the doctor and to the mother. And I don't think that that's what the justices had intended when they ruled on Roe v. Wade. I don't think that's what the overwhelming majority of Americans believe in. The woman I met last summer who grew up in Iowa was a very, very dramatic meeting that we had with her. And this is a very dynamic and very productive woman. And thank goodness that the nurse saw that she was breathing and ran out into the other room, which is the only humane thing that I think you could do for a newborn like that. Otherwise, we would have lost
this woman.
This person.
After she grew up then, huh?
Yeah, she's 38 years old. Mm-hmm. And there's 40,000 botched abortions a year where this is something that has to be faced. And if you maintain that a baby inside the womb is just a fetus, once that person is outside of the womb, how can you still, how can that person not have rights? And we talk about, you know, personage and so on, and there's been a great debate over this for a number of years, but how can somebody who is alive and outside of her mother's body not have personage and human rights and rights under this Constitution?
Let's talk about tort reform. That's what Joe would like to talk about on the Buckmaster Show live line. Go ahead, Joe. You're with Bruce and Paul.
Hey, what's going on, guys?
Hey, you.
Two points. First of all, tort reform, that was enacted in Texas. What they found out after that, one of the highest markets for insurance costs were in McAllen, Texas. The New Yorker did a wonderful layout in it. You know, not that you can always trust Wikipedia, but you can look it up there. They lay it out pretty accurately. So it doesn't always tell the story. And then in regards to interstate offering of insurance, just because you can get a decent rate from Bill and Mary's insurance in Oklahoma doesn't mean that, you know, that they're going to be financing your aggressive form of fill-in-the-blank disease. That what when you follow that underwriting up, there's only six insurance companies that are handling all that. So, you know, whether or not we like it, there's probably collusion going on. So it's not just about interstate. It's about true competition at the top of that.
So, Joe, according to your frame of mind, then there's nothing that can be done except for a single-payer, government-run insurance system. Is that right?
No. What I would truly say is that you have to attack this type of cancer from many angles, because there's totally not transparent.
All right, so what's your answer? What's your answer?
Like, when you look at the cost of a, say, appendicitis, there's so many vague things to it. There's not.
What's your answer? You've described the problem. What's the answer?
Well, we have to really wash these things clean and be honest.
Like how? How do you wash it clean?
When you're peddling Texas, it doesn't tell the story. When you're peddling Bill and Mary,
so far you haven't given
out of Oklahoma.
So far you haven't given one reason to believe what you've said, Joe.
Well, you're a professional. Tell me, Bruce. I'm just pointing out the problematic matter.
Let's let Paul talk.
Let me come in on this whole competition with insurance companies. Free markets are. It is competition amongst companies selling something, but it's also the consumer being able to say, no, I don't even want to buy that because it's too expensive. The plain fact of the matter is the competition is limited in the insurance field and health insurance, but more importantly, what the problem with the whole medical field is in terms of having competitive free markets is I, as a consumer, if my daughter got cancer and my insurance wouldn't cover it, or if I didn't have insurance, I would pay anything. I'd go bankrupt trying to make sure and save my daughter. There's just no doubt about it. If I couldn't afford it, I'd do whatever I could and still go bankrupt. If I was out there trying to buy a toaster and the toasters were too expensive, I'd say, well, I'm not going to buy a toaster. I'll just stick my toast in my oven and turn that on and toast them that way. The whole concept of free markets in the medical field doesn't work because of that. So it's much more complex than, we should just have free markets.
Paul, you expand choices. You give people menu, cafeteria choices of coverage that they can buy, what's affordable to them, and the sort of things that they want to cover. And that would have to be part of any viable interstate competition that existed in the insurance business. And when you do allow for that, you're going to find not just six firms, as Joe said, or a limited number of firms, as you've said, but a whole wealth of different companies would come into the field because they see a way to make money. That's all good. The way that we're going, we will be going toward a single-payer, government-run health insurance program. And I don't think that for the sake of the 10 or 15% of people who didn't have coverage to begin with, to make all of the rest of us pay for those ills because we weren't willing to look at tort reform and we weren't willing to look at competition is just plain wrong, and it doesn't make any sense at all.
Again, competition in this field, free markets in this field, doesn't work. And frankly, I think a hybrid of a single-payer system for the basics and in people who want to purchase additional insurance coverage for the high-end stuff, fine. I'm all for it because I think that's the most efficient way to do it.
And one last thing is that you give people portability. When they leave a job and leave an area, be able to take their health insurance with them.
Bruce Ash, thank you very much. Paul Eckerstrom, the best to you. Yep. And both of you have a great afternoon.
Thank you.
Thanks a lot. The Monday Political Face-Off presented by Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, family-owned and run since 1985. Moe's specializes in custom frame mirrors, art for your walls, picture framing and hanging services and hanging systems. Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing at Fort Lowell and Dodge and at moesgallery.com. General Wickham is coming up next. We'll talk about Syria and Korea and on it goes. Lots to talk about. With SRN News, I'm Rich Thomason in Washington. A judge in Massachusetts has agreed to release a friend of Boston Marathon bombing suspect Johar Tsarnaev from federal custody while he awaits trial for allegedly lying to federal investigators probing the April 15th bombings. U.S. officials are casting doubt on the statements from a member of a U.N. panel investigating alleged war crimes in Syria. The commission member said there were indications that Syria's rebels and not the government have used nerve agent gases in the Syrian civil war. A Utah prosecutor says he plans to decide within a day or two what charges to file against a teen accused of punching a soccer referee who later slipped into a coma and died. Wall Street, the Dow down 3 points, the Nasdaq up 13. More details at srnnews.com.
Westin La Paloma, Tucson's iconic luxury resort and spa, is now better than ever with a $30 million resort rejuvenation that includes all guest rooms, public spaces, meeting rooms, upgraded golf and tennis, and soon a new pool area and enhanced fine dining. And the setting, well, it couldn't be better on 250 acres in the foothills of the Catalinas. Take a look at the rejuvenation at westinlapalomaresort.com.
There are a million people in metropolitan Tucson, and they have a million stories to tell. That's why there is TucsonCitizen.com, the voice of Tucson. Nearly 100 citizen journalists and bloggers, including the Buckmaster Show, report the news and provide perspective, opinion, and information about everything from local politics to the Arizona Wildcats. Visit TucsonCitizen.com today to read what you can't find in traditional media or to contact us to add your voice to the voice of Tucson, TucsonCitizen.com.
Looking for a cool getaway this July? I highly recommend historic Bear Mountain Lodge, just minutes from the picturesque heart of Silver City, New Mexico, only 3.5 hours east of Tucson. Bear Mountain Lodge sits on 178 secluded acres nestled against the immense grandeur of the Gila National Forest. Check out this lovely high country tranquil oasis at bearmountainlodge.com.
Noble Hops is Tucson's original gastro pub, serving an impressive menu of craft beer and fine fare. Choose from more than 175 beers from around the world, plus wine and a full bar. Enjoy delicious soup, salads, burgers, sandwiches, hearty entrees, and more. Craft beer, fine fare, great service, and stunning views. Noble Hops, perfect for lunch, dinner, late night, and any time in between. Open daily at La Cañada and Lambert Lane in Oro Valley.
Since 2006, the RTA has completed more than 500 projects, including 180 miles of bikeways and more than 50 bus pullouts. Current projects include La Cañada from Ina to River and the modern streetcar in downtown Tucson. Please use caution and obey all traffic signs. Your tax dollars have created more than 2,500 road construction jobs and make travel around our region faster and safer. The RTA is delivering our promise to you.
Come in, sit down. You must be Megan and Mark. I'm Sharon, your wedding planner.
Hello.
Hi.
So, are you planning a large wedding?
150 guests.
Okay, then. Fairly large. Let me just get online and we can look at some venues.
Wow. Is that dial-up?
You bet. Well, they keep trying to sell me fast internet, but come on, faster internet. I need that like I need a color monitor. Oh, now, I assume you'll be videotaping your ceremony. Oh, just ignore that. The machine will pick it up.
Your technology says a lot about your business. Cox Business Internet Professional offers speeds 10 times faster than basic DSL. Cox Business also gives you local support 24/7, free online backup and security. Bundle business internet starter and phone for only $95 per month. Switch to Cox Business today and make your business our business. Visit coxbusiness.com. Offer valid until July 1st, 2013. Prices exclude taxes and other fees and may be subject to minimum service requirements. Speed comparison based on maximum download speed of Cox Business Internet Professional 15 megabits per second versus basic DSL 1.5 megabits per second. Other restrictions apply.
Welcome back to the Buckmaster Show as we push toward 12:35 on this newly minted Monday afternoon. Well, Senator John McCain, who has long advocated for more forceful United States support of the Syrian rebels, says that the two airstrikes just outside of the Syrian capital in recent days, which the Syrian government said were carried out by Israel, were likely to increase pressure on President Obama to act. Let's find out what General John Wickham has to say about all of this. General Wickham is the Buckmaster Show contributor on military and foreign affairs. He was U.S. Army Chief of Staff from 1983 to 1987 and Commander-in-Chief of South Korean and U.S. Combined Forces from 1979 to 1982. General Wickham served a total of 41 years in the Army. He's now retired in Oro Valley, and it's always our honor here on the Buckmaster Show to welcome him once a month to the program. General Wickham, how are you?
I'm doing fine, Bill, and it's my honor to be on your program. And yes, I think John McCain's comments, John has been pushing for much more aggressive action, and unfortunately, at the same time, like some of the other Republican leaders, critical of the president, I think the president is doing just the right thing, being very cautious. Now, why is Israel striking Damascus? Because the airport at Damascus is the hub of transshipment of weapons from Iran to the Hezbollah. Hezbollah, as you know, is a radical Muslim group outside of Israel, and been firing rockets into Israel routinely. And so it's right for Israel to strike and to destroy these weapons that are being transloaded and transshipped into Hezbollah's hands. Now, that doesn't necessarily mean that it puts pressure on us to go into a war with Syria. The whole concept of what's happening in Syria clearly troubles everybody who watches it. The killing of innocent civilians troubles people. The tragedy, of course, is that Muslims are killing Muslims. And then somehow or other, the Muslim leadership needs to recognize there's something wrong with the way they're interpreting the Quran that allows them to do that. But that's another subject. The fact that we're staying out of Syria with weapons means that we're staying out of another war. Were we to get involved with airstrikes, drone strikes, cruise missile strikes, we will be hip deep in another war in Syria. And a war which will spread into other countries. So I think it's wrong to push it too far. Now, the other concept that McCain and others are pushing, well, why don't we have a no-fly zone? It sounds great, but a no-fly zone, as you and I have talked about in the past, is easy to think about, hard to implement. If you're going to have a no-fly zone, it means that you have got to get rid of air defense weapons on the ground that would interfere with the ability of your aircraft to fly into the no-fly zone to shoot down Syrian aircraft. How do you get rid of those air defense weapons on the ground? You've got to bomb them, and you're going to kill civilians in doing that, and you may need boots on the ground, tactical air control parties, as they use the phrase, to direct airstrikes, and that's boots on the ground. So the practical realities of a no-fly zone, to me, don't make sense. They get us involved. I think the way to go is with more diplomacy. I think we can now lean harder on the Russians to work harder with Syria, particularly because of the chemical weapons use. And there's another debate about that, the red line, so to speak. There's some evidence today I just read, and you may have, that the rebels may have used these chemical weapons in order to force attacks against the regime. So it's unclear who's using the weapons. But to try to get rid of the chemical weapons in Syria is another whole ball game, and a very dangerous one.
So there are really no good options right now, General Wickham.
No good options at all, Bill, other than what we're doing is being very cautious about moving into that area. The public in the United States does not want another war. We've spent $1 trillion on Iraq, and look at Iraq now. Iraq is a nation at war with itself, killing hundreds of people almost every day in sectarian warfare. Look at Afghanistan. Afghanistan is another tribal warfare country. It's costing us almost another trillion. And the cost of veterans care for these two wars is another $2 trillion. So we've spent $4 trillion. That's almost two-thirds of our federal debt just on these two wars. We don't need to get involved in any more sectarian tribal wars in the Middle East.
790-2040, 790-2040, if you would like to join in the conversation with General John Wickham. So much to talk about. We have a very full agenda, General Wickham. The Wall Street Journal today has a op-ed piece from Nicholas Eberstadt talking about North Korea. Mr. Eberstadt is resident scholar at the American Enterprise Institute, a visiting researcher at the Asian Institute in Seoul, and he's talking about the president of South Korea, who is now arriving in the United States for talks tomorrow with President Obama, and then an address to Congress midweek. This is such an important visit, isn't it?
Yes, it is, and my wife Anne and I know Park Geun-hye. She is the daughter of the former dictator in South Korea, Park Chung-hee, who was assassinated when I was commander over there. And so we know her. She is a remarkable woman, a very strong and anxious to build closer relationships with North Korea. But she's not a rollover. She wants to do it on responsible terms. But we have a very good friend and a strong ally, and I think we can work closely together to do that. And I think she will make that case with the Congress and also with President Obama. I know that her chemistry with the president will be 100% because of the relationship that we had with her, and we believe that that will come through in solid colors.
So is this the opportunity then to kind of redefine our policy with the North?
I don't think we can redefine it. The North Korean regime, as you and I have talked about, Bill, is a rogue regime run by the military in North Korea and elites that are living high on the hog because they control everything. They do not want to give up, and that is a problem with Assad in Syria. If they give up, then the elites are going to go down the drain. So they're going to fight to the end to keep control of the country. And the danger, of course, is that North Korea does have nuclear weapons and that they could be, by accident, get involved in some kind of war with the South. And one of them could be set off or they could sell them. We know that North Korea is still selling weapons, not nuclear, but weapons, to Myanmar in Southeast Asia. We know that they do have a relationship with Syria, and they were building a nuclear reactor in Syria until the Israelis bombed it a few years ago. So North Korea is a dangerous place, and the danger is that we may, unless we can control it and contain it, and I think that's got to be our policy, a policy of containment. We're not going to eliminate nuclear weapons on the peninsula, in my my view, in the near future. Unless we do something to contain it, we're likely to have nuclear proliferation. South Korea looking to get nuclear weapons. And that's one of the issues that might be discussed with the president, to allow South Korea to make use of some of the waste products from their nuclear reactors. Japan also may look to acquiring nuclear weapons. What the world does not need is nuclear proliferation growing out of North Korea and also growing out of an Iran that might one day get a nuclear weapon.
All right, General Wickham, with us on the Buckmaster Show. After the break, we're going to address with General Wickham, is it time to revise the Uniform Code of Military Justice? We'll hear what General Wickham has to say about that, and we invite you again, 790-2040. If you have a comment for General Wickham, he'd be delighted to take it. We'll be right back on the Buckmaster Show.
Hi, this is Al Zaragoza, the voice of Culligan Water in Southern Arizona. Even the highest efficiency washing machine won't make your laundry soft and bright if you have hard water. It's the same for your dishwasher with spotted glasses. So why not call the Culligan man? Culligan now has a high-efficiency water softener that virtually eliminates hard water problems throughout your entire home. Your laundry is brighter and softer, glasses and shower doors are spot-free, and soaps and detergents last longer. Plus, it saves you up to 46% in water, salt, and energy. So if you're looking for ways to end hard water problems and save money around the house, a Culligan high-efficiency water softener works wonders. In fact, it makes all of your high-efficiency appliances work better and last longer. Thanks to Culligan, 100% satisfaction guarantee, your future, your home, and your laundry are guaranteed to be brighter. Call Culligan Water at 792-9700. 792-9700. Culligan. Better water, pure and simple.
Want the best care for your companion animal? Then Veterinary Specialty Center of Tucson is the place for specialty vets for your special pet. With a state-of-the-art, award-winning facility, only the Veterinary Specialty Center of Tucson delivers compassionate, comprehensive veterinary emergency and specialty care 24/7 in a wide range of fields. Veterinary Specialty Center of Tucson at North La Cañada Drive at West River or online at vscott.com. That's vscott.com.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local independent nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
The nonprofit Tucson Animal Rescue Organization, Tucson Wildlife Center, is in the midst of a capital campaign to build Arizona's first state-of-the-art hospital for wildlife. The facility will help staff and volunteers care for nearly 1,000 raptors and mammals it receives each year at its Far East Side facility. To donate online, go to TucsonWildlife.com. For more information about wildlife rescue, visit the website or call 290-WILD.
As a small business owner, I know the importance of a certified public accountant you can trust. That's why I recommend my CPA, Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates, proud sponsors of the Buckmaster Show. Located at 2919 East Broadway and on the web at flowersrieger.com or follow the live link on buckmastershow.com. Finding the perfect Tucson rental home is now easy thanks to Tucson Rental Homes, which offer high-quality 1, 2, and 3-bedroom luxury rental homes with private gated yards in a classic Santa Fe-style architecture. Designed, built, and managed by Tucson Rental Homes, prices start at just $750 a month. Check out our many homes now available at TucsonRentalHomes.com.
Why should you fly out of TIA? Easy. Do the math. First, airfares are extremely competitive, so you won't spend more on your tickets. Second, you'll save at least 4 hours of your precious time, not to mention a bunch of money on gas. Third, covered parking right by the terminal is only $9 a day. And fourth, TIA offers daily nonstop service to many of your favorite destinations. So, what does it all add up to? Easy. Fly TIA. It's the way to go.
Welcome back to the Buckmaster Show. General John Wickham, former U.S. Army Chief of Staff and former commander of U.S. and South Korean forces in South Korea, with us on the Buckmaster Show. We're always happy to have him with us once a month. And before we move on this agenda, which is jam-packed for you today, General Wickham, we had a caller during the break who did not want to stick around to go on live, but the question was, why are there so many anti-U.S. riots in South Korea, especially with them supposedly being a close ally?
Very good question, a very observant question by one of your listeners. Anti-U.S. riots are not uncommon in South Korea, as in other countries. Some of that is related to economic factors, that they feel that we are not giving a level playing field in terms of trade, that we're forcing products on them at higher costs, and we're restricting the export of Korean products to the United States. That's some of it. Some of it may also deal with the Internet, that there may be some misguided view that we may have been restricting the use of the Internet. There's an interesting observation related to that. The South Korean police and military have intercepted North Korean defectors that have been living in the South Korea and making a lot of money, been very, very effective in building wealth, trying to launch balloons going into North Korea with propaganda. And the propaganda would be telling the North Koreans about the world, the Arab Spring, and you need to overthrow the government. The government in North Korea is rotten, etc. Well, you can imagine the North Koreans react to that kind of propaganda. They said we're going to start artillery strikes on the launch sites in South Korea. Well, to the credit of the South Korean government and some demonstrators, to stop that kind of stuff, they don't need it happening on South Korea's soil.
790-2040 is the Buckmaster Show live line. In light of the recent developments concerning a case at really here at Davis Mountain Air Force Base in Tucson, I wonder, General, is it time to revise the Uniform Code of Military Justice?
The Uniform Bill, you're right, exactly right. The Uniform Code of Military Justice, UCMJ, is a compendium of laws which Congress has approved to deal with how the military levies out justice for all kinds of crimes, from murder to rape to abuse to thievery on down the line to very simple crimes. So it's a military system of law. And unfortunately, one aspect of that, and I've been a commander, where a commander does appoint courts martial. These are courts with a judge, that the appointing authority has authority to set aside the results of a court-martial if there are compelling factors. And those compelling factors could be there are things that not taken into account, such as in Davis-Montham, perhaps the individual there was associated with a very safety-oriented mission and that the Air Force needed that, and we couldn't let him go out of the Air Force or be punished. So there was the reason for setting aside, I believe, the verdict. I don't think it's a good move to allow senior officers who appoint courts-martial to set aside judgments of the courts-martial. I think if they want to make a case to appeal a judgment or a conviction, they ought to make that case to the higher authority above the appointing authority. I know that already legislation has been introduced in the Congress to change the UCMJ the Uniform Court of Military Justice, to take away some of the authority, if not all of the authority, of the appointing officers to overturn the results of courts-martial.
How involved did you get as U.S. Army Chief of Staff in some of these military justice matters, General Wickham?
I didn't, as the Chief of Staff, get involved in that. The Inspector General of the Army and the Judge Advocate General of the Army did get involved. Legally, they did. And where we had some difficulties, judgments were made. In a case or two, they came to me for my view, but I don't recollect them right now what it was.
I wanted to talk a little bit about, we haven't talked since the horrible terrorism incident in Boston, some of your thoughts on this terrorism on the in the homeland.
Well, it's exactly right, Bill. It's a terrible thing to happen, but it's happening all over the world, terrorism. Terrorism is going to be with us the rest of our lives. Look what's happening in Iraq. Look what's happening in Myanmar. Look what's happening in Syria. Look what's happening in Afghanistan, in Turkey, in some places in South America, in Mexico, where people are attacking other people because of religious reasons or because tribal reasons or because they think they have too much wealth and they want to take it away, or they just don't like them. So terrorism, however you want to define it, is going to be with us. And the tragedy is that we sometimes allow ourselves to be co-opted or to be trained into become terrorists. And that's what happened with these two men in Boston. They became trained through the internet and listening to some radical Islamic preaching. And also they believed that what we were doing in Iraq and Afghanistan was attacking Muslims, and so they grew up with this view that we need to attack people, innocent people. Unfortunately, they could be Muslim people, Muslims killing Muslims. Something's wrong when Muslims people debase the Quran into doing that. They ought to be much smarter. But now, you know, it's not only Muslims. We sometimes do it ourselves as Christians. We have Christian pastors in the United States who openly burn the Quran on public land, who openly interfere with funerals of deceased military veterans who were purportedly gay or were Muslim. And we don't need that kind of behavior. So we need, as a society, to encourage much more tolerance and much more assimilation of immigrants into our society. And we've not done enough of a job. We're better than most countries in that regard, but we need to do a better job.
General Wickham, thank you very much. Again, thank you for your service and what you do for our community and what you have taken the time to do for the Buckmaster Show. It's really a privilege having you on this program and to hear your insights into the world being, as we have talked about on this program, such a dangerous place. General Wickham, thank you.
Thank you very much, Bill. God bless.
Thanks a lot. General John Wickham with us on the Buckmaster Show. We try to have General Wickham on the program usually during the first week. It's usually a Monday of the month that we call on General Wickham for his expertise. This portion of the Buckmaster Show is presented by our friends in Silver City and Grant County, New Mexico. Silver City is hosting the 18th annual Silver City Blues Festival. This is a very big deal. If you like blues, this is one of the major blues events in the country. It's Memorial Day weekend, May 24th, 25th, and 26th in Silver City, New Mexico. Silver City, New Mexico is only 3.5 hours east of Tucson, and there is no shortage of really nice places to stay in the Silver City area, including the Pinos Altos Cabins, Silver City KOA, and Wilderness Lodge. You can check out more about Silver City at southwestnewmexico.org. Bottled water on the Buckmaster Show is provided by Culligan, offering the best drinking water and the largest variety of water treatment products and services to avail to your home or business. We always thank Culligan Water. They provide all of our in-studio guests with a bottle of Culligan Water, and everybody seems to be very happy with it. And why wouldn't they? Culligan Water, it simply tastes better. Coming up tomorrow on the Buckmaster Show, we will hear from Terry Bracey, our contributor from Washington, D.C., Shelley Fishman with the Tuesday Moneymaker Report. Then we're going to dive into the whole RTA as they get ready to celebrate 7 years since the passage of the Regional Transportation Authority. That will be coming up at 12:30 tomorrow afternoon. John C. Scott comes up from 3 to 5 here on KVOI this afternoon. Then tomorrow morning, it's Wake Up Tucson with Chris and Joe. I am Bill Buckmaster, and I wish you a very pleasant afternoon. Be with you tomorrow at 12:04.
Intelligent Talk 24/7, AM 1030, KVOI, Cortero, Tucson. On the web at KVOI.com.